Hi, I'm Gregory Dickow, and thanks for joining me on today's podcast. If you're one of our regular listeners, thank you for your continued journey with me. My prayer is that each and every message touches your heart and helps you encounter the real Jesus and rise to your true worth and purpose. Now, we release new messages every single week available to everyone in the world for absolutely free. And the reason we can do that is because we have precious people who give generously and sacrificially each and every week. If you're a regular giver, I'm truly thankful for you. I can't thank you enough, in fact. And if you haven't taken that step yet, I want to invite you to join us today. Simply visit lifechangerschurch.com/give. That's lifechangerschurch.com/give to make a one-time gift, or even better yet, become a recurring giver here at Life Changers. Finally, I hope today's message truly encourages you, builds you up, and reveals to you how powerful you really are. Enjoy, and God bless. Well, I want to take a moment and pray for you and believe God with you for whatever your need is. My God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. What is your need today? Physical, financial, emotional, spiritual. We just pray right now. Father, thank you that you are the God who supplies. You are El Shaddai. You are Jehovah Jireh, our provider. You provide us with wisdom. You provide us with healing. You provide us with breakthroughs. You provide our family salvation. We pray for that. We pray for healing physically, healing emotionally. We pray for people's finances to grow and their investments to prosper and their finances to increase and their generosity to explode and change this world, to win souls, to save souls, change lives. Father, we thank you that there are supernatural harvests coming back to every person that will be above and beyond what they could ask or think. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, thanks for letting me pray for you, and I want to share a word with you that I call How to Spend Time with God. And we're going to go through several verses about how simple and how easy it is to spend time with God, because we were created for God. We were created for His glory. There's a great saying that's been hundreds of years in existence that said the chief end of man, the chief purpose of mankind, is to give God glory and enjoy Him forever. Anybody who's had any sort of catechism or Sunday school learning growing up, you will have most likely heard that statement, that the chief end of man, the ultimate purpose of mankind, is to give God glory and enjoy Him forever. Now, I think a lot of us are truly trying to give Him glory in any and every area of our lives. We're trying to give God glory. We want Him to get the glory. If you're an athlete and you've won something, you've probably said, all the glory goes to God. I want to give God all the glory, first of all, right? We hear that all the time. But that second part, and there's more to talk about with giving God glory, but the second part of enjoying Him forever is where I think so many Christians are missing out on. And you don't have to miss out on the enjoyment of God, the enjoyment of a relationship with Him, the enjoyment of talking to Him, the enjoyment of hearing from Him, the enjoyment of spending time with Him. I also want to encourage you to believe, before we go any further, in how specifically to spend time with God. I want you to factor in this reality and believe in the miracle of giving time. Believe in the miracle of giving time. Now, we understand the miracle of giving and planting seed. If we had a farm, or we know of farmers that plant seed and they get a harvest, we know financially when we give, it comes back to us, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. There is a miracle of harvest, and there's a miracle of giving money. There's a miracle of planting seed, but there's also a miracle in giving God time. There's a miracle of giving time. Whatever we give to God, He will give back to us in better condition. So there's really nothing you lose in giving God time. The fact is you will gain more time. First of all, if you didn't gain any time back by spending time with God, it'd be worth it just spending time with Him and talking to Him and listening to Him. But furthermore, the fact that we spend time with God, we're giving God time, and He takes that, whatever we give Him, He multiplies it. So when we give God time, we need to embrace the beauty of God's promise, where he says in Ecclesiastes 3:11, he has made everything beautiful in its time. He has made everything beautiful in its time. So we need to embrace the beauty of time. Everything is beautiful. He makes everything beautiful in its time. So there's beauty in time, and we should be giving God the first of every day and spend time with him, just saying, thank you, Father. My prayer is so simple. It starts with, and then it leads to other things, but it simply starts with, Father, I thank you. Father, I love you. Father, I trust you. It's really puts you in a mind frame, a mindset of gratitude and a mindset of relationship and a mindset of where our trust is. This world is looking for anything that they can trust. But you know what? There's really nothing that you can truly rely on and lean on better than trusting God. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 8, Jesus said, freely you've received, now freely give. So we freely have received time, and therefore we will freely give time. We freely receive time, therefore we freely give it to God, and it's never wasted. What a waste of time that was when I just spent time with God, said no one ever. No one who spends time with God ever considers it a waste of time. We're robbing God by not spending time with him. We're not robbing him of time. It's not the time that we're robbing God of. It's the harvest that he wants you to receive from the seeds of time that you give him. This moment is the first part of our week, Sunday morning or Sunday evening or whenever you're watching this, that we give time to God by spending it with our church family. But time spent with God is never wasted. And God wants to spend time with you and me together, but he also wants us to have intimate time with him. So I want to give you some simple ways to spend intimate time with God, have an intimacy with God. So number one, and I'll just go through this simple list, and it'll inspire, hopefully, and encourage you, and it will make it so easy to go to God. I want you to really realize that there's nothing that matters more in this life than a relationship with God. And a relationship is not a religion. It's a relationship. A relationship involves trust. A relationship involves communication. A relationship involves listening. A relationship involves speaking. A relationship involves talking through and being patient, being kind to that other person. We need to embrace an intimate relationship with God, because we see that modeled by John the Apostle at the Last Supper, when the Bible says, and John had his head leaning on Jesus' bosom. In John chapter 13, his head was leaning on Jesus' bosom, and he asked Jesus the tough questions. And Jesus gave him answers. You see, when you're in this close relationship with God, you can talk to him about anything. You can. So number one, when it comes to intimacy with God, come boldly to God. Come boldly, come confidently. When my kids were younger and they needed something, they didn't come shy, they came bold. They didn't come intimidated, they came boldly into my office or wherever I was, asking for whatever it was they needed. We need to go to God like that. We need to bolt in. We need to run in to his arms. Come boldly. Come confidently. Come expecting that his arms are open wide. Don't come to God sheepishly or fearfully. It says that perfect love casts out fear in 1 John 4:18. But come boldly to him. You know, in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19, it says, therefore, let us come boldly into the Holy of Holies by the blood of the Lamb. We can confidently or boldly come and have access to the Holy of Holies by the blood of Jesus. So we need to realize that we can come boldly through the blood of Jesus, but we can also come boldly to the throne of His grace to receive mercy and grace to help us in our time of need. We can come boldly. When we do that, our Heavenly Father loves that. He enjoys us coming boldly to Him. Could we just boldly go to Him about your need right now, whatever it is? I know we prayed earlier, but I want to pray in alignment with this message on coming boldly. First of all, just say this, Heavenly Father, thank You that I can come to You through the blood of Jesus, and I can come boldly and confidently into the holiest place, and I can have an intimate relationship with You. I open my hands, I open my heart to receive from You all that You have and to give to You whatever You ask. Amen. Number one, come boldly. Number two, ask freely. Now, Jesus said something in John chapter 14, very powerful. John 14, verse 14, when he said, if you ask Me for anything in My name, I will do it. If you ask anything, ask Me for anything in My name, I will do it. Wow. Think about that now. If you ask Me for anything in My name, I will do it. You know, one of the ways that we quote unquote take the Lord's name in vain is when we don't use His name. We don't ask Him freely in His name. It's taking His name in vain, like, which means of no use. It's of no use if you don't use it. You see, taking the Lord's name in vain is not about swearing or cussing or profanity. Taking the Lord's name in vain is about not using His name to pray and ask freely. He said, if you ask Me for anything in My name, I will do it. Why don't you try that? Why don't you ask Him for a better relationship in your family? Ask Him for your family member's salvation. Ask Him in Jesus' name. Ask Him for your healing. Ask Him for your breakthrough. Ask Him for wisdom. Ask in His name. It's by that name that we have authority. It's by that name we have access. So number one, we need to come boldly. Number two, we need to ask freely. John 16, 23 says, in that day, you shall ask Me nothing. In that day, in the coming day, when the Holy Spirit is given, Jesus is talking about after His resurrection, when the Holy Spirit is given, in that day, you shall ask Me nothing. Verily, I say to you, whatsoever you ask the Father in My name, He will give it to you. See, while Jesus was with His disciples, He said, whatever you ask me for in My name, I'll do it. But then He says, because He's going to heaven right after His resurrection, whatever you ask the Father in My name, He will give it to you. Do you know that you can ask the Father for anything in His name, in Jesus' name, and He will give it to you? You say, well, what if I ask something that's selfish or wrong? Or, well, we know that you're not going to ask things. We should limit our requests to promises God already made. Now, there are 7,000 promises or so in the Bible. So if we just stick to asking for the things He already promised, we can sure expect those things to happen. And it will eliminate your worry about whether you're asking something selfishly or whether you're asking too much. If God's already promised it, you're never asking too much. And He already said whatever He said, I'll do exceeding abundantly, Ephesians 3:20, above and beyond all that you can ask or think. So number one, come boldly. Number two, ask freely. Number three, expect joyfully. Expect the answer joyfully. John 16:24, Jesus says, until now you have asked nothing in My name. Verse 23 said, in that day you shall ask Me nothing. Verily I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in My name, He will give it to you. Until now you've asked nothing in My name. Ask and you will receive that your joy may be made full. Ask and you will receive that your joy may be made full. Now there's something that needs to be tucked in here that is a universal principle that even non-Christian people have discovered this Christian truth that God said that we can ask and believe we have whatever we ask for. The moment we ask for it, we can believe it's already happened. We can believe we've already got it. We can believe it's already done, which leads me to the fourth thing. So number one, come boldly. Number two, ask freely. Number three, expect joyfully. Your joy is going to be made full. Some of the reason why we're not experiencing joy in our lives is because we haven't been asking God for the things that He said we could ask Him for. See, He knows what He's wired us. He knows what we're made for, and He knows our emotions and how they work. And He knows when we ask and believe we receive it, we're going to have joy. He said, your joy will be made full. Fullness of joy comes from asking. He said, up till now, you've asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy will be made full. You know what? If you have a joy deficit, you probably have an asking and receiving deficit. Ask more. Go to God more often. Talk to Him more often. Tell Him, thank you, Father. I love you, Father. I trust you, Father. Tell Him that more. Spend time more with Him. Ask Him for more wisdom. Ask Him for more breakthroughs. Ask Him to lead you and guide you through the Holy Spirit. Number four, we need to, after coming boldly, asking freely, expecting joyfully, we need to receive confidently. We need to receive it. We need to be like a wide receiver on a football team. We need to receive the pass from God. Mark 11:24, therefore I say to you, all things which you pray and ask, believe you have received them. As I was mentioning earlier, this thing has to be tucked in here. It's so important. Believe you have received them. Whatever you ask and pray for, believe you have received it, and it will be granted to you. I know that sounds contradictory, but that's how faith works. Believe you have received it, and it will be granted to you. You say, well, when it's granted to me, then I'll receive it. No, believe you have received it, and then it will be granted to you. Well, if I believe I've received it, shouldn't I see it granted to me? Yes, when you believe you have received it, it will be granted. I don't know when, but it will manifest, which what that means, be granted, simply means it will be manifested. It will be done. Believe you received it first. Believe you have received it. I got it. It's done. In Jesus' name, I've received it. I pray for joy, Lord. I pray for supernatural peace. And I believe, Father, and I ask you for healing me, delivering me from anxiety. And I believe I've received this freedom in Jesus' name. You see, when you believe you've received it, it's going to start showing up in your life. What do we do after, or what's another way to spend time with God? To thank Him continually. So listen, this is not a one-time thing where I'm showing you here the seven steps to take. They're not steps. These are seven different ways to spend time with God. You can spend time with God by coming boldly and talking to Him about anything. You can spend time with God by asking freely for anything that you want in Jesus' name. Anything you're believing for, whatsoever things you desire when you pray. Believe you have received them and be granted to you. Start with the 7,000 promises of God, and then we can talk about, should I ask this? Is this wrong to ask for? All those questions go away if you just start with what God already promised. But thanking Him continually is the next way to spend time with God. Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7 says, with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, make your request known to God. Remember 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. In everything give thanks. Doesn't say necessarily for everything, because there are some things we're not thankful for. Some things we shouldn't be thankful for. We're not thankful that people mistreat us, but we can give God thanks when they mistreat us. We're not thankful that we were mistreated, but we can be thankful even in the midst of the mistreatment. You see, the way to be in the will of God all the time, to always be sure you're in the will of God, is to be giving thanks. When you're giving God thanks, you're in the will of God. When you're giving God thanks, you're spending time with Him. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We should just spend time thanking Him. Just want to thank you, Father, for being in my life. I want to thank you, Jesus, for saving me. I want to thank you, Holy Spirit, for teaching me, comforting me, empowering me, strengthening me, advising me, counseling me. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your power and the gifts of the Holy Spirit in my life. Thank you for the beautiful gift of prayer, the beautiful gift of wisdom and words of knowledge and miracles and healings, the gift of tongues and interpretation of tongues, the gift of prophecy, the gift of the discerning of spirits. There's 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit in 1 Corinthians 12. And we should just be thanking God for all of those gifts. In fact, one of them is the gift of tongues that is available to anybody who asks God for it. Jesus said in Mark 16, he said, "In my name, you will cast out devils. In my name, you will speak with new tongues. In my name, you will lay hands on the sick and they'll recover." You know, speaking in new tongues, wow, what a gift. It requires a childlike faith and a trust. And I've always found that when I run out of things to thank God for, praying in tongues is the best way to give God thanks. In fact, in 1 Corinthians 14, it says that when one speaks in tongues, they're giving thanks well. They're giving thanks to God well. You're doing a really good job thanking God. You're doing it well. When you're praying in tongues, you're giving thanks well. It's a really beautiful verse. And in everything, give thanks. In any situation, you can start speaking in tongues and thanking God. You say, "Well, I don't know about that gift. I don't know about that tongue talking stuff, or praying in tongues." It's really simple. If you download my book, absolutely free, The Power of a New Life, there's a chapter in it on the power of the Holy Spirit. And in that chapter, it'll explain to you how to receive this prayer gift, this gift of praying in tongues. It's a beautiful gift, and it's not something that God crams down your throat. And if somebody tried to tell you that you have to pray in tongues to be saved, they're wrong. You're saved by the grace of God. You're saved by the blood of Jesus. But the gift of the Holy Spirit in praying in tongues is a powerful tool that we need in our lives for so many things. It gives us prayer power. It gives us opportunity to give God thanks. It gives us an opportunity to talk to God. No one understands, but in your spirit, you're speaking mysteries to God. You're speaking directly to God. There's no interruption. There's no interference. There's no devil intercepting. It's a beautiful gift. It's a hotline to heaven. It's praying in tongues. Get this book. Download it for free anywhere in the world. LifeChangersChurch.com/salvation, and it'll take you to this book, and just follow the promptings until you can download it. And again, it's absolutely free. And there's a whole chapter devoted to the power of the Holy Spirit, a topic we'll talk more about at length in another service. But wow, thank Him continually. It's just how to spend time with God. And number 6, rest peacefully. People need rest. It's a weary world. It's a broken world. It's a weary world. Life is burdensome in so many ways. Life's not easy all the time. We have to embrace the uneasiness of life, but also know that we can still rest peacefully when we realize where we've been seated with Christ. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4, it says we've been raised up together with Jesus, and He's made us to sit together with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Wow, think about that. That not only are we raised up with Him, we were buried with Him by being born again. We're buried with Him, we're raised with Him, and we're seated with Him in heavenly places. You say, how can we walk in this earth and at the same time be seated in heavenly places with Jesus, together with Him? It's because that's the position that He has given us from which we view life, from a seated position. Seated with Him in heavenly places, we look down at the circumstances of our life rather than looking up, wondering how we're going to ever overcome it. We're looking down at it, knowing that through Jesus, we've already overcome it. We're seated with Christ in heavenly places to give us a heavenly perspective of our everyday lives, a heavenly point of view. when our point of view is limited to something fearful or anxiety creating or stress related. Wow, we can rest peacefully knowing that we have the victory. We're seated with Christ. We're with Him on the bus. We're not in a different bus. We're with Him, seated with Him. Do you get that? Doesn't matter who you are or what you do or what you've done. If you're born again, you've accepted Jesus into your life. You have been seated with Him in heavenly places. It's so powerful to rest peacefully when you know that you're seated. Sitting symbolizes rest. We're seated with Christ in heavenly places. So rest peacefully, knowing that you already have the victory and you're not alone. You're with Jesus at all times. He's with you all the time through the Holy Spirit as well. So what is this intimate relationship of spending time with God made of? It's made of coming boldly, asking freely, expecting joyfully, receiving confidently, thanking continually, resting peacefully, and then sharing generously. Share generously. The way to spend time with God, one of the amazing ways to spend time with God is when we share what we have. In Hebrews 13, verse 16, it's a powerful verse. It says, "And do not forget to do good and to share with others, for such sacrifices God is pleased." You see, when you share with others, you are coming to God with a sacrifice, and He is pleased with that. So you're literally spending time with God by sharing with others, as Hebrews 13, 16 says. What should we be sharing? We should share our time with others by being in fellowship. We should share the gospel with others by taking the message of God's love and the message of Jesus' blood. We should be taking that message to the world. We should be taking that message to our loved ones, our unloved ones, right? Ones that don't love us back all the time, or the ones that we don't feel all the loving feelings for. We should still share our faith, share the gospel. So number one, we should share our time. Number two, we should share the gospel. Number three, we should share our story. We should share our story. Tell somebody what God has done. Tell somebody the good that God has done. That's why being in a life group is such a powerful resource and such a powerful gift, to be able to be a part of a small group. And we have small groups available both in person and online. Around the world online, you can be in a part of a life group where you share your story, where you share time with others, where you develop relationships and connection with others. So we need to get used to sharing our time, sharing our story, sharing our finances by giving and being generous. Earlier in the service, our team invited you to give in your tithes and offerings if this is your church family. I want to encourage you to do that. Make that a part of your regular habits of life. You know, I always tell my youngest son, habits make the man. Habits make it the man. We kind of have this sort of British phrase, the habits make it the man. Like, it's our habits that develop us. It's our habits that shape us. It's our habits that bring us into our destiny, by having the habit of sharing our time, by having the habit of sharing our story. Have a habit of sharing your finances, having a habit of spending time with God. These need to become habits. Every day you should wake up and give God thanks. Thank you, Father. I love you, Father. I trust you, Father. This becomes a habit, it changes everything. If it's just something you do once, it won't change much. But if you make a habit of it, it'll change your life forever. And the trajectory of your life will shoot rocket style into outer space. Like, it's just amazing what happens when you make some simple habits a part of your everyday life, and not look at them as rituals, just look at them as habits. Every day, spend time with God every day. share your time with others every day. Share, be generous and share something. You find when you do these things every day, even in small measures, it just shapes your life. It changes your life. It puts your mind and your body and your soul in a healthy place. So spend time with God. How do you do it? Come to Him boldly, confidently, through the blood of Jesus. Ask Him freely. Expect from Him joyfully. Receive from Him confidently. Confidently receive. Thank Him continually. Rest seated with Christ in heavenly places. Rest peacefully. And share generously. Make generosity a habit of your life. Sharing your story, sharing your money, sharing your time, sharing your life. Make it a habit, and you'll see the harvests will overtake you. Like the Bible says, it'll come back to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Well, if you've never accepted Jesus into your life, today's your day. Pray this simple prayer out loud after me. If you want to be sure you're going to heaven when you die, be sure. Today, be sure. How can you be sure? Just pray this simple prayer. Heavenly Father, I invite Jesus into my life. I believe Jesus is the Son of God. I believe Jesus rose from the dead. I believe the blood of Jesus washes away my sin. Amen. It's simple as that. If you prayed that prayer, would you make sure to contact me and get a copy of this book, The Power of a New Life? It's absolutely free, and it's laying the foundations of the next steps in this journey with God. The Power of a New Life, go to lifechangerchurch.com/salvation, and it'll give you all the information that you need. And again, it's free. It's my gift to you. And share, give, be generous, spend time with God. Make Him first every day, and you'll see the rewards will last a lifetime and beyond. I love you. God bless you, and we'll see you at our next service. Well, thank you again so much for joining me today on the podcast. I'm praying that God is using this message to speak to you today. And I want to encourage you right now, if Life Changers is one of the platforms from which you're growing spiritually and you feel blessed and empowered by the content here, I want to ask you to go to lifechangerschurch.com/give and become one of the givers, one of the people that is changing lives with me around the world. Become a greater part of what God is doing. Become a part of something bigger than just you or bigger than just me, what God is doing around the world through this ministry. You can give a one-time gift or become a recurring giver. Remember, the church is not a place, it's a people. Let's work together as the church to bring more people into the family of God. Go to lifechangerschurch.com/give to give, or click the link in the description. And thank you in advance. And remember, God's not mad at you. He is mad about you. He's in love with you, and He is on your side. God bless.